You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lisco. He's your host, James Rapine. Together, we are the Locked On Bengals podcast, the only place for you to get 5 days a week Cincinnati Bengals coverage. Thanks for making us your first listen today. This episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast is brought to you by On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information, or search Super Bowl on location. And James, I sure hope we're talking Super Bowl this year. I would enjoy that greatly. But the road to the Super Bowl, they have to get to 8-5. That's the first step. Their playoff hopes took a hit last week, losing to the Los Angeles Chargers. And to get back on the right path to the AFC playoffs, which is where you need to start if you want us to start talking Super Bowl on the Locked On Bengals podcast, is this week with the San Francisco 49ers. So the good news first on this injury report, right, is Joe Burrow practiced a little bit. T. Higgins practiced a little bit. Those guys both were limited, along with Trey Hopkins and Riley Reiff. Those guys all very important. The two pieces of shaky news on the injury report are Chidobe Awuzie listed as a non-participant in practice, and Joe Mixon still dealing with an illness. So those two guys were still watching, but at least for the rest of the starters, some good news. And you can throw Trey Waynes into that mix too.
For sure. You know, a lot of good overall, the way, you know, as we record this on Thursday night. One, Joe Burrow throwing passes. I saw him firsthand, accurate. Nothing on the pinky. We're talking about glove. We're talking about wrap. I posted some video at All Bengals, and I took my I zoomed in really, really far on my newest iPhone, which I give an Apple a plug. And I could see, yeah, you could see his hand pretty clear, and he's throwing pitches and different things like that. You won't be able to see it as clear on the video that I posted, because you're not going to be able to zoom in like that unless you know, you have some crazy computer. Anyways, nothing on the pinky. So it might be lack of pain tolerance almost, or, you know, or being willing to deal with more pain for less comfort. In that, you know, that's part of it, or depending on how you want to say it. But he wants to be able to grip the ball a certain way, and we saw that on Sunday when he was trying to play through it and trying to use, you know, gloves, wraps, and things like that. So I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't put anything on that hand, since he practiced that way on Thursday. We'll see Friday if he has a glove or anything like that. As far as the other guys are concerned, I was surprised Awuzie was considered. Or was a DNP on Thursday, because he went through a pretty extensive workout on the rehab field during the open portion of the media, sprinting, going through ladder, you know, the ladder drills, different variations, one foot, the other foot. And obviously he's dealing with a foot injury. So who knows? Maybe it's precautionary. Maybe there's a chance he suits up Sunday. I certainly wouldn't rule it out as of right now. By the time you hear this, depending on when you listen, maybe it's old news. And yeah, Trey Waynes looked good as well. T. Higgins looked like his normal self. The linemen were out there. So overall, I think the Bengals relatively healthy. I think Waynes has a shot to play. Cheeto, we'll see. And the other one, Joe Mixon, feels precautionary again. You don't want to get your teammates sick. We'll see if he can get back to the team on Friday and suit up, because they're obviously going to need him if they're going to beat the 49ers.
Yeah, at this point, you wonder how precautionary they can be. If guys can play, do they have the luxury at 7-5 and on the fringe of the AFC playoffs? Still in the playoffs, by the way. If the season were to end today, I believe they are a 7 seed in, or 6 seed.
Six seed.
So could be worse. It could be on the outside looking in, but they do have difficult games, and they have to finish the season with some wins, including they have Baltimore, they have Cleveland, they have the Chiefs, and obviously the 49ers and the Broncos. So good news for Joe Burrow. Hopefully Mixon gets better. You never know with these kinds of things, what kind of illness it is, how long it might linger. You never know with Cheeto either, how they're going to handle his injury. I bet if it was earlier in the season, you're right, we wouldn't see him. And we'll see how that plays out this week. On Joe Burrow, real quick, before we move off of Bengals injuries, looking at him on the sideline, I really think that the tape and the gloves and the different things they tried on the pinky were causing him more pain. I thought that watching his reactions to trying to throw the football on the sideline, he looked more comfortable with no tape. And the few times that, you know, they zoomed in on that, they had the black tape on his pinky. I remember he tries to throw the ball. That was the worst grimace I think we got from Joe Burrow. So to me, not terribly surprising that he's trying with that. Like he's always kind of said in press conferences, oh, we'll see what the glove is like. And then he never wears a glove. Have you ever seen Joe Burrow wear a glove? So
I have actually, he warmed up with it a couple times.
Warmed up, sure. But like not in a Baltimore game, right?
Yeah, I know. But that's the, you know, the weird part, right?
He decides he doesn't like it.
Yeah. And so that might be the case. He might have threw a glove on the moment we walked out of practice, and he might have tried it without anything and then go from there. I know that Zach Taylor's given him the freedom to try whatever works best for you. And the scary part is, though, and I was talking to someone earlier this week, a physical therapist. He's like, look, if it gets hit, it's more susceptible to happening again. And so that's the part. You don't want it to get hit. So it's obviously good that Trey Hopkins and Riley Reiff are trending in the right direction for Sunday.
Yeah. Protection, game script, all these things that we talked about a little bit with the 49ers guys yesterday, going to be very important. A couple quick 49ers injury notes. We don't have a full injury report from the 49ers yet, as they're a West Coast team. However, there were a couple of reports. Deebo Samuel working with trainers on Thursday, so I would still say that, you know, he's not practicing. He probably still looks doubtful. And Brian said that yesterday wasn't trending in the right direction for him. Elijah Mitchell remained sidelined, the 49ers running back with his concussion. So that Jermichael Hasty waiver scoop we talked about, unless you think the Bengals can shut down the 49ers rushing game, which we'll talk about in a little bit, you know, that might be a fantasy target. So let's dive into some keys to the game, James, and some of the things that are going to matter from a matchup perspective and from a game script perspective. I again think the game script is going to be big this week, and let's dive into those keys coming up next.
But first, well, yeah, we are talking Super Bowl. Like Jake mentioned, Super Bowl 56 at SoFi, less than 100 days away, which is insane. And On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Select your exact seats. Choose from elite experiences featuring exclusive pregame celebrations with NFL legends, five-star Los Angeles hotels, and food by the great Wolfgang Puck. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information, or search Super Bowl On Location. That's onlocationexp.com/SB56. Or search Super Bowl On Location.
And if you're preparing for your trip to the Super Bowl, you need a little snack to get you over your airplane ride. Maybe you're flying somewhere for a holiday and you want to have something that's convenient, tastes delicious, and is nutritious, hits all your macros. James loves his macros. You know he does. And knowing that about James, and knowing that he told me before we started recording that he ate 2 Built Bars, grab yourself some Built Bars for your holiday flights. They've got a ton of flavors going on right now over at built.com. You can check out their expanded holiday collection. Maybe you want something with a little cherry in it, or my personal favorite, the coconut brownie chunk with real pieces of brownie, literally in a protein bar, which blows my mind every time I take a bite. So go check them out. built.com, a ton of great flavors with great protein content, with low sugar, with low fat, with real chocolate. Really don't know how you beat it. Again, built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. James, game script. Remember when all we used to talk about on this program when it came to keys to the game was game script, it felt like? And now here we are, 2 weeks in a row where we're talking game script. And again, this week, I think we talked about in earlier episodes, it's a little bit for different reasons, but here I'm looking at Bosa and Eric Armstead and thinking, man, the Bengals the last few weeks when they've had to pass, when they're down 10 plus points, I know that it's been different combinations, but it's been ugly. So if you can avoid getting yourself in that situation, avoid turning the ball over on your first possession, which they've struggled to do lately, I imagine is something that is top of mind and should be easily avoidable, because a lot of the scripted stuff has looked a lot better lately, and they just have to finish those drives. So starting the right way, getting the run game going early against a better run defense this week, because we heard Eric Crocker talk about this in our crossover. The 49ers are actually pretty good in pass defense overall. Pretty sound defense over there. So as much as we love the Bengals' weapons and Joe Burrow, and I still have confidence in his ability to throw the football when he needs to, we saw it against the Chargers last week, another good pass defense in terms of their results this year. Getting Joe Mixon going, getting the run game going makes everything so much easier in terms of staying on schedule and keeping Joe Burrow protected and upright.
It does, especially now since he's banged up, right? And, you know, he might not have 50 throws in that pinky. Certainly has him in the arm, but you want him to be accurate. You want him to be precise. You want him to be on target. And he certainly was during the part of Thursday's practice that I saw, hit chase for a deep ball, slant, stuff like that. At the same time, how many of those does he have, right? In how many hits is he going to be able to take? All of those things. So the fact alone that his pinky is less than 100%, that he is dinged up, that alone to me, regardless of everything else that you said, which was all good points, is why you want to get Joe Mixon involved. But yeah, everything else too, because you don't want to get behind. You don't want to give your defense, put your defense in a bad spot against a physical offense that is going to try to attack on the ground in this dynamic, weird, unique run game that they don't really see much of. Lou Anarumo on Thursday called it, it wasn't Baltimore light, but it was like Baltimore-esque or something like that. And I'm paraphrasing, it might not be exact, but Baltimore was mentioned because it's a tough run game to stop. So offensively, really for the first time this year, and it needs to start Sunday and it needs to continue over the next 5 weeks, can you stop putting the defense in crappy positions? And to your point, it's turnovers. They need to find a way to stop turning the ball over. And I don't know. I think a lot of them are weird. Like the Ja'Marr Chase one's just weird. Like some of them are bad luck. Some of them are undisciplined. Some of them are fundamentals. Well, it needs to be cleaned up now. Just like if they had 15 penalties last week. And I know it's two different things, but we would be talking about how penalties need to be much, much less and much lower. This team doesn't have an issue with penalties, but they have an issue with turnovers. It needs to be fixed. And it needs to be fixed starting Sunday against the 49ers if they're going to make the playoff run that everybody is hoping that they make. At least everybody in Cincinnati.
We certainly are on this podcast because we haven't gotten to cover a playoff Bengals team. I don't think since Locked On Bengals was first conceived in your first stint, that was post-2015, correct?
Locked On Bengals debuted after the Denver game. It was a loss to Denver, I believe, in 2016. So, yes, yeah. No Locked On Bengals postseason yet. We need to get to the postseason. I agree with you.
Yeah, and no winning season either, correct? Or was there one winning season in there before things really went off the rails?
Some 6 and 7 win seasons. Some big Tyler Boyd dagger to the Ravens moments, but that's about it.
Maybe we're the problem, James.
No, but you keep bringing it up in different ways, and it's like, yeah. Because it wouldn't be, it would be me. Well, I guess there was a stint where I wasn't here either. So it would be us. Yeah. It's not our fault, Bengals fans. It's the Bengals. But that could change if they stop turning the ball over starting now.
Yeah, we could have our first Locked On Bengals winning season. I think, you know, you and I agree. We would love that. Just talking game script, though, for some of the stuff we talked about, you want the 49ers to have to rely on Jimmy G. Listen to our crossover yesterday. Listen to Crocky and Brian Peacock talk about how when Jimmy Garoppolo has to throw, what was it, like 30-plus passes or something, the 49ers almost never win. And I think you're going to see that this week as well. But beyond that, I talked yesterday, much to some Bengals fans' chagrin, apparently, about Trent Williams and George Kittle and the threat that those guys present in the run game. And you look at where San Francisco has had the most success running the ball, and it's exactly where you'd imagine. They go outside left tackle. They're averaging over 6 yards per carry this year on 48 tries. They also like to go right end. They like to stress, and I talked about this on the crossover yesterday, they like to stress you horizontally in the run game. So they've got 48 rushes outside left end this year. They've got 52 rushes outside right end this year per PFF, averaging 5.5 yards per carry to the right side outside. So in both directions, and we've seen this before, we saw it the last time the Bengals played the 49ers. You've seen it with Cleveland games. Teams are going to try to threaten the edge and run outside against the Bengals. And if Kyle Shanahan is smart, he's going to look at his splits and say, you know what, when we try to run up the middle and we average, 3 yards per carry, and that's where DJ Reader and Larry Ogunjobi and BJ Hill and Josh Tupou are hanging out, maybe we won't try that. Maybe we'll just run behind Trent Williams the whole game. And you know what makes that a whole lot harder to do is a 14-point deficit. So you get off to a hot start, you score some points early, you keep the scripted stuff going in the positive way it's been going, eliminate the turnovers, find a way to continue the emphasis that's clearly shown up this year, punching the ball out the way this team does, try to create your own turnovers, and there is a recipe for success. Obviously, when you win the turnover battle, as coaches love to point out, you're likely to win the game. But to me, if you get them early and you try to make Jimmy G throw the ball, that makes the 49ers a much easier team to deal with in terms of where their threats are and how they challenge you as an opponent.
That's fair. And there's a lot that goes into that. Lou Anarumo, by the way, was asked about potentially moving Hendrickson on Thursday, and he says they were open to it. Obviously, you're not expecting Anarumo to in that trade's ready for it. If they decide to do that, obviously Lou's not gonna be like, yeah, we're moving him, we like the matchup better. He's not gonna say that to us, but it's clear. I mean, you read what's coming out of San Francisco and people that know the 49ers well, and then you look at the Bengals and what Sam Hubbard does well and what Trey Hendrickson does, and this is the third episode in a row we've talked about this, it's what they should do. They should move them, not permanently, but at least try it, see, because maybe you do get some heat on Jimmy Garoppolo when it's 3rd and 8 and they have to pass it and you put Trey Hendrickson over there, that type of situation. So certainly something I want to see. The other thing, grabbing momentum early, and I want to clarify this, at least on my end, I don't need Mixon to have 8 carries on their first drive, and I don't need them to dink and dunk it necessarily. I'm okay with the shot play on the second play of the game. Like, if because if they win the coin toss and they'll defer. But if they lose the coin toss, we'd probably expect the 49ers to defer. Bengals get the ball first. 7-0. And so I wouldn't be shocked at all if they dial up a shot play for Chase and Higgins and then have Boyd over the middle, something like that. So they do need to get off to a better start. Game script matters so much, and I would not be shocked, like I said, on defense if Trey Hendrickson moves at least a little bit, even though we haven't seen it, just because it seems like Lou's adapted a bit. Trey Hendrickson's willing to do anything for the team, and if this is the best way to do it, I think that they're all going to agree. Because it's hard to switch as a pass rusher like that if you're not used to it. But I think he's up for the challenge.
Just looking at his history, I think the most plays he's had on the left side of the defense, like in the last 3 years, is probably like 12 snaps outside on the left. Like, he's been such a right side dominant pass rusher. So it'll be really interesting to see, because we were talking with Brian and Eric Crocker yesterday. Those guys were like, we don't like Tom Compton at right tackle. Who's going to beat him this whole game? And we're like, well, they don't have their dynamic pass rusher over there. It's Sam Hubbard. He's more of the run defender. And they're like, oh, well, they should flip him. And we're like, yeah. Well, so to me, it's nice that Lou didn't shut it down. Mm-hmm. To me, that means that's they're legitimately maybe it's gamesmanship on his part, in which case, kudos to him for being clever. But sounds like it's something they're seriously considering. And there's still some more things to seriously consider about this game. I know we got some predictions yesterday, but more to talk about certainly in this one, and we'll finish up coming up next.
Founded in 2009, Stance Apparel represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel. I first heard about Stance when my guy D. Wade right there, my favorite basketball player of all time. I know I got some Kobe stuff too, but D. Wade is the guy for me when D. Wade invested in the company way back then. And they have such a unique, awesome brand full of pop culture's hottest collaborators for ultimate in-style self-expression. And man, it's great, great quality stuff, whether it's something like the NBA, like I mentioned, maybe it's Disney, Harry Potter, The Office, which I'm currently streaming for like the 57th time right now. Stance has something for everyone. And Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in. Those who feel good do good. So go see for yourself. Register for an account at stance.com and get 15% off your first purchase. Use promo code Locked On. That's all you got to do. Stance.com, promo code Locked On. The holidays are here. You can save some money and get maybe yourself an awesome gift or someone you love an awesome gift with Stance. Again, stance.com, promo code Locked On for 15% off. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance.
I could use some new colorful socks. You know my favorite pair of socks, James, before we dive back into this matchup? I have my best friend's dog. You know that every Christmas you get the ads for the dog face on your socks?
Yep.
I wear those when I need a pick-me-up. When I need to feel happy, I go grab my Koba socks, and they cheer me up. Whenever I look down, I catch a glimpse of them,
It's I hope you don't have to wear those socks on Sunday at about 8 Eastern.
Yeah, I would rather wear some Stance socks that are mood neutral. I don't need the pick-me-up. Maybe I need to get hyped up a little bit or something like that, but either way, looking at the quarterback matchup here, James, this is why game script is important. But looking at the quarterback matchup, Jimmy G is this being of chaos, it seems. When he's protected, he has great numbers, completing 70% of his passes, nearly 9 yards per attempt. He's not putting the ball into much danger. According to Pro Football Focus, when he's kept clean, only putting the ball in danger about 2.5% of the time, which still gives you some opportunities. But when he's under pressure, he's putting the ball in turnover-worthy play situations 8.5% of the time. You get pressure on Jimmy G, you almost have a 1 in 10 chance you're going to come away with the ball. And that's why they try to hide him so much, I think. Mm-hmm. That's why they try to call plays the way they do. They try to make your rules work against you, as Brian put it yesterday on the crossover. But man, if you can find a way to get that pressure, and this is where I just keep thinking, this week I've been thinking about Osai a little bit more than normal and wishing that they had Joseph Osai for passing downs this week. But if they can find a way to get pressure specifically with four, and I know we've said this before, but find those clutch pressures to really aid that turnover quest, that would be huge this week, because Jimmy G has a very clear track record of cracking under pressure. So game script and pressure, obvious keys every week, but especially I think this week with Jimmy Garoppolo's stark splits.
And when you were describing that and getting heat on Jimmy G, I couldn't help but think, all right, interior. All right, BJ Hill. All right, Larry Ogunjobi. And I know it's not fair to DJ Reed, but all right, interior guys, it's time to go now. It's time to win, because they need someone else. And maybe it's Sam Hubbard, by the way. Maybe it is him. Maybe he does take advantage of that side and do his thing, because he's shown it, and he could end up with double-digit sacks this year. But he's not like Trey. All right, he's not like Trey Hendrickson, where he's going to make a move, go through a dude with a spin or, a swim move and win and get the sack. He just very rarely is it that. Usually it's a coverage sack where he's hustling and then he dives for the quarterback and he gets him, or Lamar scrambling in the pocket and Hubbard sheds the block and is able to make a tackle, something like that. I look to the interior. Can they get pressure up the middle? Can they find a way where they get consistently good Larry Ogunjobi BJ Hill, which we've obviously he's having a great season and he's been everything they could have imagined and more when they traded for him. Because if that happens, it's twofold. Not only do you need to get pressure on the interior to make life easier and take some pressure literally off of Hendrickson, but it means they're probably going to be able to slow down this 49ers rushing attack at least a little bit. If they're winning, I get it that, you know, the stats up the middle, but if you're winning there, it's going to make life easier on these linebackers, Joe Bachy trying to, you know, track down whoever's playing running back for the 49ers. So it would have a multifold impact. And then who knows, maybe the Bengals can force multiple turnovers for what is it? It would be a fourth straight game that they forced multiple turnovers. If I recall that correctly. So, you know, they're in a good spot, I think, to do that if they get pressure on him.
Yeah, you've seen a positive turnover trend for the defense. You just hope that the offense can clean it up. And it's just this thing where every week, I think this week they'll clean it up. The fluky penalties will go away or the fluky turnovers will go away because it is truly, it feels like so many of them are just, this doesn't normally happen. This is weird. These are weird turnovers. These are not things that you would expect or budget for. And the Chargers fans that decided to get into the YouTube comments, James, got mad at me for saying that the Chargers didn't earn their turnovers. So, you know, I think that it's been a positive direction for the Bengals. But when you talk about Larry Ogunjobi, he has been, you know, a pretty good pass rusher this year for the most part. There is an opportunity there up the middle. Did you know that BJ Hill is the second highest graded Bengals defensive player by PFF with at least, say, 300 snaps or so?
Really? Just behind Reader?
Behind only Reader. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it has to be Reader, but...
He's in a dead heat with Cheeto, who I think last I saw, by the way, Cheeto, which is why I'm pressing and hoping that he's going to play. Fifth ranked, I think I saw, cornerback by PFF this year overall.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big loss.
And we haven't talked about him very much, but maybe not as important this week without Deebo Samuel and the big threat being George Kittle and coming up with a plan to defend George Kittle. And this is probably the last thing we should talk about and on the defensive side of the ball is the 49ers have success over the middle of the field and they've remembered that, oh yeah, this George Kittle guy happens to be a freak who's really good at football and the Bengals will need a plan to deal with that.
Yeah. It's a huge challenge with Cheeto, without Cheeto. It's such a, you know, he's a dynamic tight end and he's more complete than the other tight ends they faced. He just is. And because he can do it, like you've mentioned multiple times, great blocker, but he is dynamic and you have to account for that. And if not, they're going to make you pay. And by the way, if I'm the 49ers and I want to make life easier on Jimmy Garoppolo on 3rd and 8, well, where am I looking? It's pretty easy, right? You're looking for this big tight end that is just going to be so tough to cover. And even when you do cover him, he can make a play. And after the catch, man, he is special too. So we're going to be really tough to contain him. I do wonder what they do. Is this a Trey Flowers thing? I don't think so, by the way. Is this a Trey Waynes thing? Or is this, and I have a point before we go, I want to make about Waynes if he does play. Or is this a Jesse Bates thing? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Jesse Bates declined talking this week. Didn't want to talk after the game. Hasn't talked to the media. Might be sick of us. Might be sick of playing poorly. But Jesse Bates hasn't played as well as he certainly expected, as well as everybody expected coming into this year. And at some point, the Bengals need him to. And you know, maybe that's this week. And I'm not saying he's going to go one-on-one or anything like that. At the same time, be nice if 30 showed up and had a game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a tough season for Jesse Bates. And obviously you and I think that he's a great player that's just not having a great season. And you hope that at any point the light bulb just comes back on, right? And he rips off some incredible games and starts making a difference the way he did for this defense last year as the fireman putting out all the fires with all the guys off the street playing on that team. Like, he was such an incredible part of that defense last year. And now the rest of the defense is better and it's just not been the season he's hoped for. So I agree with you. It'd be nice to see Jesse Bates turn that light back on, but I think it's got to be a team approach to Kittle similar to Waller. It's hard to treat a tight end the way you treat a Ja'Marr Chase. You can't just, you know, say, okay, we're going to put a safety over the corner. We're just going to have help over the top and we'll have multiple guys that he has to beat. It's just harder to do that with tight ends because they're accustomed to getting in behind your linebackers, finding the hole in the zone, sitting down, attacking the seams of certain defenses. And Kyle Shanahan's going to know when and how to do that. So it's going to be a team effort, I think. Reroute him at the line of scrimmage, get good contact on him from the linebackers if you're trying to disrupt him getting into his route. But he's just, you know, obviously a great player. And so looking forward to the defensive ideas to slow him down. And maybe we're not giving enough credit to some of the Bengals offensive weapons, because I guarantee you that Ja'Marr Chase is going to get out of this slump, and it might be this week, and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd are going to continue to stress defenses. We can't forget about the Bengals weapons. And that's maybe a reason to think that, you know, if they can get off to this good start and lean on their strengths, just as they have in all of their wins this year, that they can get to 8-5 and get back on track. James, you wanted to make a point about Trey Waynes. I think you did your prediction yesterday, but let's get your point about Trey Waynes here real quick.
Yeah. So as far as the weapons go, real quick, I agree with you. One, I think Chase is going to get out of the slump. Two, I think if the Bengals are going to make the playoffs, as much as we just praise the defense and everything like that with the injuries, it's going to be because of these weapons, even more so, more pressure on Chase, more pressure on Higgins and Boyd and Mixon. And obviously Burrow to perform at a high level. That being said, if there's a game that you could have Trey Waynes out there, look, I think it was weird when he signed a couple of years ago, almost two years in March, and everyone's talking about how good of a tackler he was, right? You don't sign a corner to be a great tackler. Like, that's just a weird praise, even though it's true, right? Well, they need him to tackle his ass off if he plays on Sunday with all those wide runs and things like that. So I do think if there's a game you want Waynes, it could be this one. And as far as prediction, yeah, I'm not leaning any different. Nothing has changed. I'm leaning 49ers, 30-27, close game. Wouldn't be shocked if it goes the other way. I just, to me, that run game, the Bengals injuries, and I need to see this offense put together a clean four quarters of football where they are explosive without turning the ball over and not aided by a bunch of mistakes. If Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't turn the ball over on Sunday at all, this offense needs to find a way to put up enough points to beat him anyways. And that's much, much easier said than done. So I'll say 30-27 49ers.
Yeah. And for me, I'm still very 50-50. I know some people are mad about that too. People like to be mad at me lately. That's fine. But the thing for this game is, can the 49ers find the offense with all the injuries they have at running back without Deebo Samuel? I know last week it was George Kittle for 181, but they only scored 23 points. And the Seattle Seahawks are having a very bad season. I know they're more familiar with the 49ers and all this, but when they've won games in the last little bit, they scored 33 and beat Chicago. They scored 31 and beat LA. They scored 30 to beat Jacksonville. They scored 34 to beat Minnesota. Arizona beat them 31-17. Seattle beat them 30-27. You look at their last 6 weeks, whoever scores 30 points wins. And only one team is scoring 30 points in those games. All the way back to week 7, coming off their bye week against the Colts when they lost 30-18. So 30, as it has been this year frequently, James, appears to once again be the magic number. And for me, the big question is, can the 49ers coaching staff do enough to manufacture offense to get to 30 points? And can the Bengals offensive players take care of the ball? And can Zach Taylor, you know, obviously put together a nice game for Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon and the weapons here? Because they should be able to get to 30 if things don't go off the rails again. And I think maybe the 49ers have a bigger question to answer there with some of their offensive injuries, but we'll find out. Maybe I'm a little bit more optimistic than I should be, despite everybody out there that thinks I'm a hater. There's a little bit of optimism for those folks. That's going to do it for this episode.
You hater. Jake, yeah. Hater.
Man, look at me. I guess, I mean, I'm no Paul Daner. What was he? He projected the Bengals would be 9-2 if all the picks went his way. But, you know, I guess when you see Joe Burrow, it's just hard to doubt the guy sometimes. You know, I know he's lost some games this year. It's just hard to doubt the guy every week. And that's why we're optimistic about this team, I think. Or at least I am. Not going to speak for you, James. Let's wrap up there. We're back on Sunday. It's a late game, so we'll be back late Sunday. They pushed it to 4:25 kickoff, not even 4 o'clock. I got to wait till 4:25, just like everybody else. Man, brutal, brutal push, but at least more people will see it. On Sunday after the game, James Rapine and I will be back to recap and react. Until then, Bengals fans, hootay, and have a good one.